What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here with the All Access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast, talking to you about the June 14th episode of TNA Impact Wrestling. I loved this episode of Impact. Hands down, I would put it probably in the top five ever episodes of Impact that I've watched. I'm not going to sit here and rank it. It's the show of the year for me, as far as TNA's television show goes, and I don't think it's even close. Coming off of Slammiversary, they did so much good here. They really did a ton of good with this show. They built stories for 3 months down the line, but they also built stories for 1 month. They had their eye on the long term, but they told solid stories in the short term. And there's something remarkable about this that I'll get to at the end. That really says to me that TNA is in a good place creatively right now. And I'm someone who, I fluctuate. I wrote a blog a couple weeks ago before they went live the first time, talking about TNA being on a creative high, riding that high point. I talked with Jason Powell for .NET members on Sunday night about how TNA put together their best pay-per-view ever until the main event of Slammiversary and then pissed it away. I really believe that this company is going in the right creative direction. Yes, there are going to be steps back. Yes, that's going to happen. But this show, I guess, really, more than anything, it sold me on the creative direction that TNA is going in. And that, it's time to get in line and support it, because I thought it was that good and well worth doing. But before we get into going through the show, match by match, chronologically, let's talk about ProWrestling.net membership, because it's phenomenal, guys. It's the best value in wrestling website membership, and I know there are so many places that you can spend your wrestling website dollar, but if you want a good combination of news and analysis, if you want to know things before other people do, if you want a fair amount of audio, this is the place to come. We're not going to overwhelm you. We're quality over quantity, but we've got plenty of quality at the same time. ProWrestling.net, right now, .NET members are listening to the .NET Weekly Audio Show with Chris Powell and Jason Shore. Jason Powell and Chris Shore talking about the news and events of the past week. That's over 2 hours on a weekly basis. They're listening to the .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett, where we go for 45 to an hour talking about the top five and bottom three moments of the week and analyzing them. They're listening to Jason Powell on the PW Torch livecast. They're listening to Jason Powell's member-exclusive Raw review. They're listening to Jason Powell and I talk about Slammiversary, because that's what we do. And that's just in the last week. There's also all sorts of interviews and stuff on there. There's first-run news. There's access to the .NET members forum. And there's ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. If you want that, if that sounds as good to you as it did to me, because I was a member before I did this whole actually working up for the website thing, head on over to ProWrestling.net on the right-hand side of the page. Boom goes the dynamite. You've got your membership link right there. Click that bad boy. Put in them numbers within minutes. Boom. ProWrestling.net membership. It's the best value in wrestling website membership, and I really think that if you just try it out, if you want to go monthly, you want to try it out, $7.50 for 1 month. Download all the audio. Listen to all of it. Gosh, you're going to have a rough month. But listen to all of it. Get it out of the way. I think you're going to come back. If you've tried it, maybe you let it lapse and you want to lock in for a year, just, pound it, boom, you're good till June 14th, June 15th of 2013. $5.50 a month would be your rate at that point. You can't go wrong with that. You really can't, for the amount of entertainment we provide. And speaking of entertainment, let's get on with this free entertainment right now, because I just did the ad that paid for it. So I'm going to go through this one chronologically, because there are some points that I want to make as we go along that are going to culminate in one big point. So we open with the Previously on Impact segment, and we had a video package talking about James Storm and his return at Slammiversary and the Bound for Glory series featuring James Storm starting tonight. And I really feel like this year, they might as well call it the Bound for Glory series featuring James Storm. It would be a swerve if Storm didn't win it. It's written in the stars a million miles away. James Storm is on his way to Bound for Glory, and that kicked off tonight in the Bound for Glory series. So we opened with Mike Tenay and Taz talking about Slammiversary and saying it was terrific. We had the Ultimate X structure. They're using the metal one all up around the ring. And with the X's on top, what I believe the structure originally built for Elevation X, which I hope we never see again. And we had Zema Ion and Chris Sabin waiting in the ring already. And that began our first match of the night. Austin Aries versus Zema Ion versus Chris Sabin. Aries made his entrance as well. In an Ultimate X match for the X Division Championship. I liked the match. It was not the spot fest that we're used to from Ultimate X. It was not this classic Ultimate X encounter. It was just, hey, you know, we're going to put on this match. We're going to take a few big bumps. Not going to take a whole lot of risk. It looked like Sabin might have hurt his knee again. But for the most part, this was a good match. Nothing mind-blowing. The big story of it was Austin Aries and how good he is. And he was in there with two guys who can sell his offense really well, in Chris Sabin and Zema Ion. It's a shame that there weren't two big heels to put him in there. I probably would have taken Chris Sabin out and put Kid Cash in. Just to have another heel in that match. And just so it's Austin Aries overcoming two big heels and not Austin Aries just, yeah, he beat these guys, whatevs. Let's get into the complaint I had about this match. One, Ultimate X, that should be a TV main event. If you're going to put it on free TV, that's the focus of the show. From beginning to end, you're building it up, and you're saying all through it, Ultimate X, let's show you some highlights. Here's the first one. Here are some really big Ultimate X matches throughout history. This is why you have to stay tuned. This is why you need to call your friends. You know, you're saying that a week out. This match got no hype on TV. This match was promoted via Twitter. And I knew about it because of Twitter. And, you know, I'm pretty dialed in on wrestling on the Twitter machine. So it's very possible that I knew about it, but a lot of other people didn't. But that aside, and also, Chris Sabin and Zema Ion deserve X Division title shots? They've already lost to Austin Aries a bunch of times. And they don't even get entrances on TV for their X Division title match. All of these things, it just compounds to make it not the best combination. But in the end, the goal of this match wasn't to have a good Ultimate X match. It wasn't to wow you with the Ultimate X concept. It was to use the concept, the other wrestlers in the match. It was to use all of that to get over Austin Aries. And they did that. They did that well. And Austin Aries, after the match was over in 7 minutes and 21 seconds, grabbed a mic and discussed how he came in a year ago and said he would beat anyone they put in front of him. And they did that. He said, I came in and I called myself the greatest man that's ever lived, and you all said I was arrogant. Well, I showed you that I am the greatest man that's ever lived, and you've come around to believing me. He said he hit everything they put on his tee right out of the park. And he then said, I'm not satisfied with it. I'm not satisfied with the X Division title. I'm not satisfied with the snail's pace that things are crawling at. And then Hulk Hogan's music hit, and Hogan stood on the ramp, and Mike Tenay threw it to commercial. Great segment right there. And I'm going to say that a lot tonight. Great segment. That's just get used to it, folks. That was great. That little promo from Aries and the Hulk Hogan music hitting and Aries and Hogan. And Mike Tenay said, we're going to hear from Hulk Hogan. He's going to address Austin Aries right after this break. Great hook to get you in there. They got you in that first match to buy into Austin Aries. Then they take you and they bring out Hogan, the established star, so you're not flipping the channel away. Boom. I thought this was a great hook for the rest of the show, a great hook for staying tuned through this one break. We came back from commercial. The crowd was hot. This Impact Zone crowd was hot all night, and we don't get that from the Impact Zone all that often. They were into it, though. They were really into the show. And again, it enhances the show. When you get the Impact Zone into it, I don't know if it was the hot pay-per-view they all watched on Sunday. I don't know if they were working overtime, hyping them up between matches and in commercial breaks. Whatever it was, this crowd was in. And I should note, too, this was a super Impact card. TNA can't put together cards like this on a weekly basis. An X Division, an Ultimate X match, a Royal Rumble-type match, and a world title defense. You don't get the, you know, you don't get that trifecta all that often. In fact, TNA probably shouldn't have had it on this show. But I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not, you know, I think that this show is going to draw TNA a great rating. And more than anything else, I think the critical praise it receives is going to be worth it. I should also note, I haven't read a word of what other critics have said about the show. So if everyone else is hating it and I'm the one guy sitting here saying, I love it. Well, guys, I'm right and they're totally wrong. That's how this works. That's why you're listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access podcast. But back to Aries and Hogan. Hogan said, he's been there. He started talking about how Aries claims he's always the main event. And he said he's been there. He's been the main event. And he talked about, Hogan talked about how he's seen it all in wrestling. He's seen it all worldwide. He's done it all. He's been everywhere there is to be. And Hogan said, he looked at Aries and said, and at no other time in my life, at no other time in wrestling, have I had the goosebumps that I have when I see you, Austin Aries, come out and wrestle. I've never had the feeling in my gut that I get when I see you come out and wrestle, and I believe in you, and I believe that you are the greatest man that ever lived. No, I'm not joking around with you here. This is not a practical joke. This ain't April Fool's. Hulk Hogan said that to Austin Aries, and, you know, And yeah, you can say it's lip service, and Hogan says things like that a lot, but Hogan worked hard in this promo to put Aries over. And he said, Austin, I believe in you, and I'm the GM, and I can make things happen for you. And he said, I want to put you in the main event. I want to give you a shot at Bobby Roode, but the thing is, you're X Division champion. I've got to see, you know. And he basically laid out a scenario, and he said, Aries, in order to get a shot at Bobby Roode, you have to give up the X Division championship. And Aries, you know, said, you want me to give it up? I've worked hard for this, and you want me to just hand it over? And Hogan said, not for nothing. I want you to give up the X Division championship for a shot at Bobby Roode at Destination X in the main event. Roode versus Aries in the main event if you give up that championship. If not, you're still X, you know. And he said, if you win, you're the world champion. If you lose, you walk away with nothing. And he gave Aries a week to figure it out. Great segment. Just absolutely great. They made Aries handing over the title seem like, yeah, obviously you should do it. It's a world title shot. They put over the world title here big, by the way. Side effect of Bobby Roode being champion for so long, it hasn't been passed around, so it doesn't feel like everyone should be champion. They put over the title big. They put over Aries huge here. Hulk Hogan, this is the best use of Hulk Hogan since he's been in TNA. January 4th, 2010. I think it was January 4th, 2010. Hulk Hogan comes into TNA. June 14th, 2012, Hulk Hogan is used correctly. That's how I see it, honestly. Hulk Hogan was used perfectly in this role because he was the babyface. He was using his clout and his legacy to put over someone else in an unironic way. In a way where it's not Garrett Bischoff, but someone that you can actually buy into Hulk Hogan really putting over in Austin Aries. It's the right guy. It's the right time with Aries really catching fire right now. This was phenomenal. This was everything it needed to be and more. And this is, when I talk about him building up for the next month, this is it. And also I should point out, this was Hogan putting Aries over himself. And I know Hogan, you know, in a year we won't look back and think of Hogan as less because he put Aries over himself, but we might think of Austin Aries is a lot more because of that. Then we saw Joseph Park sitting at a table, basically, you know, kind of the old I'm telling war stories thing, and Bully Ray said he was looking for Abyss, and we got more of that. Hernandez came to the ring, and we got Hernandez versus D-Von after seeing highlights of D-Von and Garrett Bischoff dancing. Why? 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 Moving on. D-Von defeated Hernandez in 3 minutes and 33 seconds. I just found a typo in my live coverage report from last night that I'm going to go back and fix. All right. Well, this one, it was Hernandez versus D-Von. I mean, what do you expect it to be? It was a lot of power moves. There was a bear hug in the middle, if that intrigues you when you watch a wrestling match, bear hugs. And for the most part, you know, nothing was really botched. Hernandez had some trouble climbing up to the top rope, and the announcers covered and said it's probably slick and sweaty, and Hernandez just looked kind of dumb, but it wasn't like horrifically botched move number 7. I actually, when I saw Hernandez enter, started thinking, what if Hernandez won the TV title? And I'm not saying he should. I don't want to watch Hernandez matches on a weekly basis. But Hernandez would not be a terrible guy to put that title on. He's young. He's someone that can excite the fans. The problem is that there's nowhere to go after the title for him. And what I talked about on Sunday night with Jason Powell was putting that belt on Crimson now that he's not undefeated and, you know, give him a month to kind of transition into something else, but put that television title on Crimson and let Crimson be the guy putting on those matches every week. Let Crimson, you know, say, I'm going to replicate the streak and I'm going to do it with the TV title this time and have it be a major deal. Crimson could totally pull that off. I don't know that Hernandez could as well, but I don't think he'd be the worst choice. Not the best, not the worst, just kind of the choice. But we won't get to see that because Hernandez lost to Devon. Then we saw Dixie Carter and AJ Styles talking in the back, and it was a lot of, you know, the secret talk between them. Oh, Dixie, we can't keep doing this. AJ, I know, we have to come clean. I was about to tell him, but Dixie, what do we do? It was fun. You know, it's Dixie Carter and AJ Styles, and if you're into that angle, then this was exactly what you wanted to see. I thought that that angle was actually presented really well on this show, by the way. It wasn't overkill. And this is something, the show got the pacing of stories right. It was a little fast-paced for a wrestling show for my taste, but it got the pacing of the stories it was telling very, very much correct. And this, it didn't hit you over the head with it, because it did last week. Then we saw Bobby Roode arriving to the Impact Zone. And Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles were introduced for the Bound for Glory series opening gauntlet. And let's just run down everyone in this. AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, Magnus, Bully Ray, here we go, Kurt Angle, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, who apparently is in The Dark Knight Returns, Robbie E., Christopher Daniels, I'm just scrolling here, folks. Samoa Joe, and, yep, James Storm. Those were the 11 guys competing in this match. The 12th member of the Bound for Glory series would be the loser of the main event match, the world title match, and I really liked that concept. Hey, you're number one contender now. That doesn't mean you don't get a shot later, and you're still in it to fight, but you don't get all of that. It worked well for me. So let's talk about that gauntlet match. It wasn't the gauntlet for the gold like they used to do, where it ended in a one-on-one match. There were no pins or submissions. It was just over the top rope. It was 90 seconds between entrance. Basically, it was a Royal Rumble. But they're not allowed to say Royal Rumble. And maybe they didn't want to say Battle Royal for that reason. So they called it a gauntlet. But I found that a little confusing. This one. I talked about the pacing of telling stories, and they managed to work a lot into this little 11-man Royal Rumble and tell a lot of stories. They got Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam and AJ Styles out there early. They forwarded the story between Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and Kurt Angle. When Angle came out, and when Daniels entered with Styles accidentally hitting Angle, checking on him, getting eliminated by Daniels, then Angle getting eliminated by Daniels. That was really well done. It kept that tag team championship rivalry alive and kept, you know, kind of Styles and his whole lots of feelings thing in the limelight. We kept the issue between Abyss and Bully Ray alive, which is surprising because, you know, Abyss wasn't even in the match, but Abyss came from under the ring. It was real Abyss. They showed his face, grabbed Bully Ray by the throat and pulled him out, and then went back under the ring to hang out in Hornswoggle's Little People's Court. I hear he's good friends with the guy that runs Little People's Court, so it's chill. We had the return of the Pope D'Angelo De Niro here. He apparently is going to be in The Dark Knight Rises, which is cool. I said The Dark Knight Returns in my live coverage. I'm not fixing that typo. No one's going to read it. People read the live coverage. They just probably don't go sentence by sentence. I don't know. I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. Highlights of this match. I'm going through them right now. They got one nice thing that they did storytelling wise. By the time it was time for James Storm to come in. The guys in the ring were Samoa Joe, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, and Christopher Daniels. You didn't have Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles, or Kurt Angle in the ring. That was fantastic. Because the crowd is going, oh man, we need a babyface. And, you know, we're going to cheer for Joe. But that James Storm music hits. And suddenly it's like, yes, that's our guy. This dude's taking it to the bank. This is his series. This is his match. And they got all of those baby faces out of the way at first. Again, just, it's those moments where TNA does a little thing and does it really well. This was just a really well-booked and well-put-together match. I don't know who on the team, the creative team, the bookers, whoever put together the match, but it was really well done to get the guys that they wanted over, over. And no one in this match was more over than the Cowboy James Storm, who won the match. We're getting into the second hour of the show now. Who won the match, last eliminating Samoa Joe with the last call super kick. And then grabbed a beer and the microphone, did his little beer celebration, and then on the mic started talking about, started discussing spending time with his family and being gone and taking that time off that he took. And he said he realized wrestling was in his blood and that it meant something to him. Then he talked about how when his daughter asked him, he realized how much wrestling meant to his daughter. And then when that outpouring of support from people at Slammiversary came in, he realized how much it meant to the people that he wrestled and that he wants to show them. He wants to wrestle for them. And he said he's going to win the Bound for Glory series. And he said when he does, he just hopes that it is Bobby Roode that still has the world title, because it's going to be even sweeter winning that world title and kicking his ass. I'm not even doing it justice. This was a masterful James Storm promo. He had to stop a few times in the middle because the crowd, that hot Impact Zone crowd, started chanting "Welcome back" and "Cowboy," and you know, you deserve. Like they were really hot for him. It was great. Then we saw Angle and Styles backstage, and Angle told Styles, "You got to get this personal stuff figured out because it's going to cost us our tag titles." And Styles said, "I will. I will." We saw Miss Tessmacher then take on Madison Rayne and beat her in 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Decent match. Madison Rayne was a good opponent to go out there and bump around for Tessmacher and lose the match. That was her gig. You know, it was, hey, go out there, make her look good, lose the match. Got a few little spots in. Let Brooke get into a little bit of trouble. But for the most part, let Miss Tessmacher, she's not Brooke anymore. Tess is what I think they want us to call her. Get into some trouble. It worked. She finished her with a Russian leg sweep-ish finisher for the 3 count. Then we had a Brooke Hogan and Gail Kim backstage segment. Not the greatest actresses in the world, but they didn't embarrass themselves, so high five. And next week for Open Fight Night, it's the Knockouts Championship that's going to be defended, and we're going to have that pick four, the picking four women segments. With Brooke, I guess, picking between four women, and Gail Kim will not be one of them. That was odd. I don't really want to see Brooke Hogan picking. Hulk Hogan's bad enough, but Brooke is not as good of an actress as her father. Gosh, that has to be embarrassing. But, you know, it is what it is. Then we talked more about Open Fight Night. Or we did at some point. It's going to be the Bound for Glory open call-out edition of Open Fight Night. So they're really pushing the Bound for Glory series, as they should. They worked hard last year to establish it. They followed through with it. And they can reap the rewards this year because now there's a legacy of it. It's happened once, so it can happen again. One thing that they didn't do that I thought was a mistake, I think with the Bound for Glory series, you can put together a video package of what the rules are, what a pin means, what a submission means, and how many points each one counts as, and show examples of it happening last year, just a pin happening in the ring. Instead, they just said, if you want to know the rules of the Bound for Glory series, go to the TNA website. And I thought, why would I invest that much in you? It's a little bit of a rude thing to think, but it's just where my head went. Then we saw highlights of Sting versus Bobby Roode with the emphasis on Bobby Roode tapping out on the announce table and getting a bottle to smash over Sting's head. So obviously they really wanted to establish Bobby Roode with that one. Then we got the world title match. Fifth match of the night, final match of the night, Bobby Roode defeated Ken Anderson in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. About four of those were in commercial. Does it seem to you like TNA has longer commercial breaks than other wrestling shows? Maybe it's just the quality of commercial that we're seeing, but TNA just has the worst commercials. They kill the show sometimes. They didn't here, but I just always noted how long they feel like they are. This was good. Bobby Roode won the match with a crossface, and Anderson tapped out. There was no cheating. There was no, you know, beer bottle to the head. It was none of that. It wasn't that Bobby Roode. It was intense, focused, and better than you, Bobby Roode. And I thought this guy would have been really cool to see on Sunday instead of sniveling, really not good at what he does, Bobby Roode. I thought Roode gained a lot of what he lost on Sunday here. And it's in front of the TV audience, which is far bigger than the pay-per-view audience. And I know it matters far more to TNA what happens on TV than what happens on pay-per-view. But Roode did some really nice stuff here. And Ken Anderson, for what it's worth, had probably one of his better matches in the last year with this 11-minute match. He showed fire, intensity. He was someone that I wanted to watch for the first time in a long time. And it was just what he showed in the ring here with Bobby Roode. There was a nice chemistry between them, and even though Anderson as a character isn't an attractive option for a match with Roode, if they went back to this on Impact or something, I wouldn't blame them one bit, because it worked. But the goal of this match was to get Bobby Roode over. And the match did get Roode over, and I'll pause here and talk about what the theme of this show really was, at least to me. And that was TNA's talent. Everything on the show was geared towards, every match up to this point, was geared towards the guys that TNA has grown themselves. Let's go with the opener, Austin Aries. That's what the first 30 minutes of the show were about. And while I know a lot of you are going, he was groomed in Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate USA. Yeah, in front of 40 people. This is an actual national audience. Austin Aries is a guy that TNA brought up, and a lot of people didn't think he would do well in the company, but he has. And he's someone that TNA can say is theirs, was homegrown. D-Von and Hernandez doesn't count. The Bound for Glory series gauntlet, that got over James Storm. It also got over AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. TNA guys. Samoa Joe, even. Miss Tessmacher is a TNA homegrown talent. She's not she is a former WWE diva, but not a major one. She's not going by the same name. It's not Mickey James out there. It's or Trish Stratus or something. It's Miss Tessmacher. Well, by the way, how stupid must they feel about choosing that name? And then finally, it was Bobby Roode getting over here. And it just feels like TNA, and maybe this is jumping the gun, it feels like they're finally starting to take on that younger persona that defined them in the years that when I started watching, that when Christian jumped to TNA, one of the things that defined them was their ability to push their own younger homegrown talent. And Christian was a big jump and they pushed him. And oh, if we all could have seen that it may have contributed to so many former stars getting championship runs in the company, we would have been disappointed. But the show was focused on younger talent. It was focused on TNA homegrown talent. And that's awesome. That is phenomenal. That's where this company needs to be, because if someone tuned in and saw this product, it wouldn't look like the guys that were on WWE TV 3, 4, 6, 10 years ago. It would look like a completely different company with its own brand identity. And there was nothing trashy on this show. There was nothing to make you just turn away in disgust like there is on some TNA shows. Bikini Car Wash. Or Thanksgiving Thong Thunder. There was none of that action. There was just good wrestling. And there was good storytelling. And like I said, this is a kind of special show that you can't do all the time. But this show, and maybe it was the Royal Rumble-esque match on it, but there was something about this show that left me looking forward to Bound for Glory the way I look forward to WrestleMania after I watched the Royal Rumble. That there was something about this show that said, hey, this is the future. These are the next 3 months of TNA programming. Lock it in. Get ready. It's going to be fun. And I believe it. I trust that locked in feeling. But let's move on now that I've talked about the whole show and talk about the main event segment. Jeremy Borg, they did a long recap of the show promoting next week. I think they may have run a little short on time somehow. But Jeremy Borash introduced Sting after they showed the video of Sting, his Bound for, or his Hall of Fame induction video that was shown at Slammiversary for Sting to be inducted officially at Bound for Glory. That's convoluted. But after they showed that video, Sting came out. And he was in wrestling gear, a t-shirt, and his face paint, which looked like Jeff Hardy's in 2009. And he said it's obvious that Slammiversary will go down in history as one of the best moments of his career. Huh? When you lost the world title match, and he said all he wanted to do was beat up Bobby Roode, and he got to do that. Well, that's a bummer that winning the match didn't matter to you. Small complaint, and I get that they were trying to move Sting and Bobby Roode away. That they didn't want that rivalry to continue, and that's why Sting said that. Another way to do that would have been to have Bobby Roode beat Sting by submission and get to, you know, brag about that and get to look good because of it, but such is life. He talked about being the first inductee into the Hall of Fame and said it means a lot to him and said he wanted to thank some people that paved the way and people that TNA wouldn't exist without, and he started with Jeff and Jerry Jarrett, the founders of the company, and he said without them, the company wouldn't exist. And then he moved on to Dixie Carter and started talking, but three masked men ran into the ring. They had kind of lucha masks on and started beating up Sting. Put the boots to him. Sting was down in the middle of the ring and the show went off the air. Guys, the lucha version of Nexus is upon us. It's happening. The lucha Nexus is near. Or, you know, it could be the three Dark Scorpions from WCW. The Dark Scorpion and his two twins have come. Two fellow triplets. Big money. They've come, and they're here to beat up Sting. Or it could be a AAA invasion of TNA, which we've seen kind of be rumored for quite a while with Jeff Jarrett working down there and a TNA invasion of AAA having happened. That last one would not shock me. The other two, especially the Lucha Nexus, would. Lucha Nexus. I mean, how do you top Justin Gabriel's 450 splash, really? You can't. It's not possible. Don't even try. But yeah, an intriguing go-home, or an intriguing final segment to the show that thematically didn't fit in with the rest of what I thought the show created, but not in a bad way. It was just different. And TNA is doing something different at the moment. I think that this attack takes Sting out of the title picture. It creates some intrigue again, marching towards Bound for Glory, with Destination X on the way, with August pay-per-view that TNA does on the way. Is that Hardcore Justice? With No Surrender in September on the way. With all of those between now and Bound for Glory, it really feels like TNA is starting to ramp up the storytelling and to make some really great things happen. So, that's what I've got for you guys today. Once again, check out the ProWrestling.net website. Check out our apps on iPad, iPhone, Android, Kindle Fire. Go to the website. Read it. Have fun, guys. Thank you very much for joining me today on the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast.